It's 10 o'clock on Saturday night. Dragon Con is over. Doctor Who is over. What is there for a person to do? This is Wes. Jamie's on assignment, and you're listening to Geek Week. Welcome back. This is Wes. Like I said earlier, Jamie's not here, but I have a special guest. We have Russell from Ramble with Russell. Hello, Russell.
Hello, Wes. How's it going?
Pretty good. And we're just going to talk about a couple of things tonight. We're going to keep it short. One thing I want to talk about is I just came back from Dragon Con, which is a big sci-fi fantasy convention in the Atlanta area that this year, God, it was so crowded I could barely even move. It was horrible, but I just want to give some of my thoughts on it and find out what the perspective from our neighbors up north think about things like that. So you may get some Canada questions if you don't mind.
No problem.
Well, being in the south of the United States, we don't get up that way that often, and you know.
Yeah, I can understand. I mean, the furthest south I've been honestly is Maine. So
God, that's the south. Actually, the furthest north I've ever been was Pennsylvania. So we went up there, and that was back when I was in high school, which was a long time ago in a galaxy far.
Yeah, I mean, the last time I drove down to Maine was years ago, too, and that was a long drive from my part of Canada.
Right. Well, I was in, I guess, 10th grade, about 1989, and that's around the time Dragon Con started, and I was going to a convention at that time called Dixie Trek, and it was mostly Star Trek and Doctor Who. I mean, Doctor Who was huge on the PBS channel around here, so they had a good mix of Doctor Who guests along with Star Trek guests, and a lot of times, you know how the guests will get up at the conventions and they'll do like skits and things. So I got to see Pertwee do a Pertwee meets Commander Riker one time. It was really neat.
That would have been amusing. That would have been really amusing.
Peter Davison was there one time, and he likes to sing. As a matter of fact, he writes songs and has quite a few published, from what I understand, and actually theme tunes to TV shows and things like that. So,
oh, there you go, multi-talented man.
Oh, yes. Not only is there a doctor, but he's also a vet. So.
Yeah, I hopefully have a signed autograph of him coming my way via good old Paul Wilson of the WhoCast.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, he did that as a favor to me because he went to a recent signing in the UK. So as a nice thing to me, he got a signed picture, and he's hopefully will get to my hot head soon.
Well, you know, I really envy him being over there near that store because it sounds like they have a lot of neat things. But,
yeah, he's in the right country when it comes to getting Doctor Who guests, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's almost impossible to get action figures around here. I went to the dealer's room at the convention. You know, for those of you who don't know, and I don't know who that'll be, there's usually a huge room that has nothing but toys and comics and just junk that most people wouldn't care about, but us sci-fi geekies, we love it. And there was like none of the current Doctor Who toys to be had. Now, I've acquired a few off eBay. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, I should have bought a bunch of them. But you know.
Yeah, I haven't seen too many in the stores here, to be honest with you. So
I imagine you have a better chance than we do in America, though, because they, you know, it's like they're saying on Podshock, the Americans aren't very good at promoting Doctor Who at all. It's like the redheaded stepchild, you might say, of sci-fi around here. Because, you know, it's
well, you know, it seems, and this is just my general observation after watching sci-fi fiction for years, you guys are good at promoting your own, but when it comes to imports, that can vary.
Not so good. Unless you're a Monty Python type show, you're not really going to get big. The PBS channel here hasn't shown Doctor Who in over a decade, but they've got every episode of Are You Being Served, which, you know, I don't care. I love that show. I miss the Who, and it was like after the 96 movie came out, I'm sure I'm like a lot of fans, and you know, I'm a fan of it, but it kind of fell by the wayside. There wasn't anything new, and I got older and wasn't into it. And then when I heard about the new show, I started looking up the stuff on the website, and then when it came out, I was just blown away. So I started trying to acquire the old Who, and noticed it was on DVD, so I started picking it up. And now through alternative alternative means, you might say. I've got just about the entire series, you know.
Oh, yes, the vaunted other means. We here in the podcasting community know all about other means.
And, you know, my thought of it is, if it was out there for sale, I would buy it. So
Yeah, my thoughts, exactly.
If they don't
I only have so much money to throw around, so I try to, you know, save money where I can.
Well, a good example is I know how to author DVDs. So I made some nice DVDs of Series 1, but when it came out for sale, I bought it.
Oh, yeah, I definitely picked up Series 1 when it came out on DVD, and, you know, when Series 2 comes out for us North American guys in, well, I think it's February. Then we'll pick it up, too.
And of course, we're getting away from Dragon Con talk, but I will tell you, there was no Doctor Who really represented except we were leaving the convention. It was about 12 o'clock, midnight, and we had basically hung around in the lobby of the hotel taking pictures of people. And people were very gracious about stopping and taking photos for you. It's just a lot of fun. We were leaving, and we went to the Marriott, which was, there's three hotels that encompass this convention, if that lets you know anything.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Lots of people at this convention. And we made a mistake and went the up escalator to where the elevators were in the Marriott. And right at the top of the elevator was a new series Dalek sitting there in all its glowing glory.
Wow, nice.
So Jamie and I hopped beside it and took a picture, and there's a picture on our podcast site, and Russell, I'll send you one so you can look at it, but it was very beautifully done, and couldn't get from anybody whether or not it was actually used in the series or built by someone, but it looks kind of dinged up like it had been in production, so I don't know. People are pretty good at building stuff like that in their garages. So.
Yeah, it never ceases to amaze me, and I see homemade, fan-made Daleks.
Yeah. Well, it would be kind of cool to have one. I think my fiance would throw me out if I threw something like that in her basement or built a TARDIS or something. You know, it's like every kid's dream to have their own TARDIS. But
yeah, I'm pretty sure there would be no room in my house. My wife would not be too tolerant of having a big Dalek either. So
yeah,
they don't go
by the old, you could use the TARDIS as a tool shed thing. It just doesn't work.
No, she'd want to repaint it.
Oh, it'd be like
so it wouldn't work.
Violet or something like that. Could be interesting. We, you know, going through the convention, like, the costumes to me are the neatest thing about it. There's just so many different genres, costumes. There's just tons of stuff to do there. They had a lot of guests this year. I don't know if you got to the website for Dragon Con or not before they removed their guest list from this past year. I mean, it wasn't as good as other years, but the guests are very accessible, and they have the Walk of Fame area where they're all signing autographs. So when I walked through there, it was kind of neat to see the people that you've been watching on TV for a while, although some of them are kind of expensive when it comes to autographs.
Yeah, that's going to be a shame that way.
Older things. But, you know, I got to meet people like the Ghost Hunters, which I get the feeling that Ken on Podshot doesn't like them very much.
Yeah, not his favorite show.
Yeah, they like to promote them a lot during Doctor Who, but they're pretty nice. And then the Mythbusters were pretty cool, but the autograph I actually went to get was the horror director George A. Romero.
Oh, nice. Mr. Night of the Dead, Land of the Dead, yeah.
I got him to sign my Dawn of the Dead box set. It was really cool. It was just neat. He was a nice guy and talked to me for a couple of minutes and shook my hand. It's like, oh, wow, I met one of my idols, I guess. But like I said, no Who guess. I was
scared.
But I'm thinking that now they had one video room for movies and one video room for anime. And I would say a good portion of every day was given over to the second season of Doctor Who, and they showed the entire thing over the 4 days.
Wow, that's great.
And apparently the rooms were packed, so a lot of people are seeing it. I'm sure when Sci-Fi shows Series 2, they're really going to do well with it.
Well, yeah, apparently Series 1 did gangbusters for them, so they're picking up 2 right away, and that's great.
It should tell all the fans something that, or Sci-Fi Channel especially, that a show they didn't promote hardly at all did just as well as their major shows. That's saying something.
Yeah, and I'm sure Series 2 will do well when it airs up on the CBC here as well, too.
Well, I think they're going to put it up with Battlestar Galactica, which will help a lot, because one will lead into the other, and they'll pick up a lot more fans that didn't give it any, you know, time of day beforehand. But yet again, I digress. I'm a rabid Who fan. What can I say?
Oh, no, I don't blame you. I did notice looking at the past pictures on the Dragon Con page, there were some very interestingly dressed people, especially some women,
yes,
in past years.
If you go to DragonCon.org and look at the pictures from past years, you'll notice that it's like every fanboy's dream female walking around with their little... It's like Catholic schoolgirl meets anime, and that's all that walks around there, really.
There was also a picture, and this really caught my eye. I don't know if you were I think it was from the 2004, maybe 2005, I'm not sure which year. There were a group of three women who were dressed up, I guess, as angels in some kind of dawn costume.
Yes,
and I swear, I'm pretty sure they had body paint on as their tops.
Yes. There were quite a few of those ones. They painted their entire body and went with no clothes.
Yes.
And it was pretty wild. Now, I initially waited in line with a gentleman to get tickets, and it tells you the dedication I had for going down there. Now, I only went one day this year. I wasn't going to go, but it was one of those last minute, hey, Jamie, we didn't know anything, let's go down there. And we waited in line for like 3.5 hours for tickets.
Wow.
We waited in line with a gentleman. He was from Tallahassee, Florida. He was a student at Florida State. And he was dressed up like a Ghostbuster. They had some of the best-looking costumes I've ever seen. The proton pipe worked on everything. It was neat. And they were like, this is our last year to go because we're all getting married, and this is the last chance we have to look like a geek before our wives throw us out. So we're going to go. So they did.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
I've never been one to dress up, but, you know, I'm like, you know, go for it if that's what you want to do.
Now, were there just these scant-dressed women this year as well, too?
Mm-hmm. Well, there was tons. I got a couple of pictures I'll post up on our pod site and send to you. It's pretty neat. But they're real inventive. They're not terribly untasteful, either. They're very tasteful,
no,
dressed,
just,
but scantily.
Yeah, it's really pushing the line, because there were some women that had some very revealing backwear as well.
Yes, and I will say this, there was a lot of pirate wenches there this year. Apparently the pirate thing was a very big draw, I guess you would say.
Okay.
My friend Derek, who also talks on the show from time to time, he got more pictures because he was there all 4 days. And apparently the day one, there was a gentleman there that had a full-size remote control K9 that he had made.
Wow, and nice, impressive.
He was driving it around, and then apparently it got some signals from something else and started spinning around and around and around. I was like, yep, that sounds like K-9 from the show. But
yeah,
it up and looked at everybody funny and went off to his room, I suppose.
Now, I'm curious, that woman we were talking about, the body paint, did she show up again this year? Because she was scantily dressed the year before that as well, too.
I didn't see her, but...
Okay.
I also don't think I made it to most of the convention. There's, in addition to science fiction and fantasy, this year they had a lot of just mainstream television guests. Like, most of the cast of Happy Days was there doing a Happy Days.
Really?
Yeah. So Anson Williams,
that would be interesting to see.
Potsy and Danny Most were there, and Joni from the, you know, Joni Cunningham was there.
Yeah.
Some of the other guests that I saw, Mickey Rooney was there.
Wow, Mickey Rooney, he's getting long in the tooth now.
Anthony Daniels was there, although I didn't get to see him. He was only there like 1 or 2 days. Quite a few people from Buffy the Vampire Slayer were there. I don't know if you watched that much, or Angel.
Oh, yeah. I'm a fan of that show.
Andy Hallett, who played Lorne, was there.
Really?
Claire Kramer, who played Glory. And Nicholas Brendan, who played Xander, was there as well. He was really nice. And there was, you know, it was very accessible. There weren't huge long lines when I was there, and you could walk up to them and just, as long as nobody was in line, have a 5-minute conversation if you wanted to. It was pretty neat.
Now, how much did they charge for admission?
I'll go through the different tiers. If I bought my pass for next year at this year's Dragon Con, it was $40 for all 4 days.
Wow.
And it's $40 up to a point, and then it jumps up to like $60, and then closer to the con, it goes to like $85 for 4 days. So it's still not bad for 4 days.
Right, and that gives you an all-admission pass. You can walk around, go anywhere, sort
right.
of thing.
Yeah, there's certain areas you can't go, like the green room. But see, like, they take volunteers to work the con, and apparently they never get enough people to do security and stuff like that. So I may do that next year, too. But if I can get the listenership of this podcast up, I can, A, become a panel guest, or B, get a press pass. and actually go into the green room and interview people. So that's, you know, keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah, the one big convention I've always wanted to go to, and I've seen, heard about it for years, is the San Diego Comic-Con.
That's like the biggest one in the United States, I believe.
Yeah, and if I had the time and the money to go to it, I would, because it looks like such a big event and a fun event to go to.
Oh, yeah. Derek and I were talking about it. It's like, it's almost worth it to me. We have a airline service called AirTran. I don't know if they go to Canada or not, but they're based in Atlanta, and we know some people that work for them. You know, it's like getting a part-time job there. You get automatic flight status, and you can go anywhere, and it's like, you know, it's so easy to go to those conventions if you work there. You just hop a plane and go. But none of the really cool conventions other than Dragon Con are on the East Coast much. I mean, if you look at, like, the Fangoria Weekend of Horrors, it's always out in L.A., and, you know, the really cool Doctor Who convention, I mean, not knocking Chicago TARDIS, which is still far too far away for me to go, but the, you know, Gallifrey one that they have out there, it's supposed to be, like, the best one in the world, and it's too far away. It's across the whole country, and I cry every year, but... Well,
yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, the closest big city I have to is Toronto, which is still 2 hours away from me. So,
do y'all ever have? Do they have any conventions up in Canada at all? I'm sure they do.
Sometimes. I don't know if it's big a deal as, say, a Comic-Con or the one you went to, or even, you know, as something as big as E3. Although E3 will be changing next year.
Right. Now, I remember I was getting into this earlier, but I rambled, I guess. But when I was going to Dixie Trek, Dragon Con started, and it was just a role-playing game convention. So it was mostly like Dungeons and Dragons and things like that, hence the name Dragon Con. And then Dixie Trek and the Atlanta Comic Con kind of folded into it and made it a little bit bigger. So it used to be like a Saturday only, and a couple hundred people would show up and no guests. And then gradually over the last 20, it's a 20-year-old convention now, and now they have... They probably make a couple million dollars a year easy off of that convention. And they donate to charities and do all kinds of things. Every Saturday of the convention, they have a huge parade down the main street in Atlanta, Peachtree Street. And they have hundreds of people in costume just marching down the regiments of stormtroopers. They
wow.
had a whole from G.I. Joe Cobra regiment marching down the street.
So in full gear, eh?
Full gear. And it's
wow.
really something awesome to see a bunch of stormtroopers coming down the street, I tell you. And people will stop and just like, what the heck?
Yeah, that would be a very surreal experience for a lot of people.
Pretty strange. But, you know, the stormtroopers are nice, and they donate a lot of time to children's charities. And they have certain rules they follow so that George Lucas will allow them to do things. But overall, the 501st is a really good group to get involved with. And you don't have to have a stormtrooper costume to join it. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, a bunch of group of people, like Jamie has a TIE fighter pilot outfit, and that's what he dresses up as, and he's trying to build a stormtrooper suit now, but it's kind of expensive. It's expensive.
Yeah, I would think the parts would be kind of up there.
But, you know, George Lucas is one of those people, as long as you're not doing anything to make his baby look bad, he's not going to say anything to you.
Yeah, there is a fine line that Lucas will draw, that's for sure.
But there's, quite a huge... Now, Star Wars isn't as big as it was simply because they're done with the movies for now, but a big thing at the convention was Stargate. Now, the thing that was unnerving is the Stargate fans that were dressed up were actually acting like people from Stargate the whole weekend, and it wasn't like, hey, I'm in a costume. It was like, I am Colonel O'Neill.
Okay.
And we're looking for the Stargate. It was, you know, I'm like, dress in your costume, but, you know, be the character when you're taking pictures, but you don't, you know, when you're waiting for the elevator, have to be Captain Jack Sparrow. You know, you can be yourself.
Yeah, that's a little extreme.
It was kind of fun, and I guess when you get a little liquor in some of these guys, and they're probably accountants behind desks all year, and they get to hang it out at Dragon Con, you know.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's not a good combination right there.
It's just
liquor and dressed up in a costume.
It's just an interesting thing, and if you ever get a chance to do something like that, come on down, because it's really worth doing for... One day I might get a hotel and stay the whole 4 days, but, you know, after one day I was exhausted when I got home. And
that's a common thing I've seen with conventions is they're all exhausting.
Right. What I should have done was taken my iPod with me and recorded people while I was there and just kind of interviewed people on the street, you know, and added it into my podcast, but you know, hindsight's 2020. I didn't know I was
going. Yeah, I know the feeling.
It's like I wish I had done that. But it's
that's always the case.
It's a really cool experience if you've never been to a convention. Like, we took my fiance. She's not a sci-fi fan at all. As a matter of fact, you know, we don't watch sci-fi when she's around, and there's nothing wrong with that. She just wasn't ever around fanboys much, and people her age don't watch television a whole lot. She's a little bit younger than I am.
Okay.
So, you know,
yeah, my wife is the same age as me, and she's very selective when it comes to science fiction fantasy.
Let's just say I do my Who watching, and not secret, but when she's not around.
Yeah, I pretty much watch it by myself, too.
Now, she can stomach the new series, although I have caught her saying that she likes David Tennant, but, you know, the girls all think he's cute. But she still,
yeah, he has that look to him.
She won't watch the show, but we, you know, when it was being aired in England and the other main stuff was going on, our friends and I would hang out until we got through getting it, and then we'd sit in the room and watch it. You know, it was kind of like little mini conventions here at the house.
Yeah, I think that went a lot. That went along. That happened a lot in North America when it was airing in England.
But I think if the people that the powers that be that run the show notice things, the people that did the other means are still watching it on Sci-Fi Channel and they're still buying it, and that's
yeah. I will still probably watch it when it comes on the CBC for the sake of seeing if they edit it, you know, support the network airing it.
Right, and if you don't watch it, they won't put it on.
Exactly.
And
I'm hoping that they'll show the Christmas special on Boxing Day again this year like they did last year.
Well, see, I think now that Sci-Fi is carrying it, hopefully they will show it at the same time on their channel. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Not that I won't watch it the other way without commercials, but I'll still TiVo it.
Yes, good old TiVo. I don't have that in my house.
We just got it recently, and I tell you what, it has really changed the way we watch television. We don't watch anything live, and we can go. It's kind of like you're free to do whatever you want to with your life, and when you're bored, there's a TV show you like.
I see that.
But I will say that I saw an interview, and no one's really talked about this in any of the Doctor Who podcasts, and they may not know about it, but on Kevin Smith, who's the director of Clerks and stuff, you know, his films.
Yeah.
He has a website, and one of their correspondents interviewed Russell T. Davies about Doctor Who.
Wow, that's cool.
And he was, I think they had just finished getting Doomsday ready and they were about to put it online or on the air. And he actually told the guy, you need to download this and watch it. It's really good. So I think, you know, Russell's thought is like everyone needs to watch it so that it'll stay on. The BBC wants money. So therefore, if people are buying the stuff and watching it, they'll keep producing it.
No, yeah, supply and demand. You know, that's the nature of TV these days.
Right. And, you know, I'm getting to the point now where I'm like, it's that time of year when the rumors are flying, so I'm going to quit reading a lot of it. I can be surprised.
Yeah, the BBC is very interesting when it comes to rumors and selective truth.
My friend Jason will just, if you start talking about what might be happening, he should just leave the room because he doesn't want to know. It's kind of a smart thing, but...
Yeah, all I'm curious to know is what the episode titles will be for Series 3 at this point. I mean, I'd like to at least know that.
You can kind of get an idea of what it's about by the titles. Although some of the titles for this season were like, what does that mean? And then you see it and you're like, ooh. You know,
yeah.
I'm one of the few people that didn't mind Love and Monsters. I didn't think it was horrible. I think if you just went through the perspective that it's a fan watching Doctor Who and what they would think life would be like, I think that's more like...
Yeah, I mean, it's not my favorite of this current series, and I've seen this trend in TV before. It's one thing that they've done in North America and TV a lot. I just haven't seen it happen in quite a few years.
Right, I understand why they did it, but I kind of agree with the people that are of the camp that if you need to do an episode like that to give them time to film something else, then, you know, why not let them film something else and spend that money on a better episode?
Yeah, it's funny. I buy a lot of old shows and DVD, and I was recently watching a season of Magnum I got on DVD. And they virtually had the same type of episode where they had this guy guest star, and he was in like 80% of the show, And Magnum was in the near the beginning and near the end. He had maybe like 5 minutes of time, maybe 10 in the whole episode.
Right.
And it was just like Love Monsters.
Have
he was guest starring in his own show.
Have you ever seen the Magnum, just to digress a little bit here, where, you know, most of the cast of the episode were Doctor Who actors?
I don't remember what season that was.
It was toward the end of Magnum P.I., but there was an episode where he went to England, and the guy he was mostly dealing with was Julian Glover from City of Death.
Oh, yeah, and
Peter
Smallville
Davison.
Recently now.
Yeah, Peter Davison was a gentleman that was there that was kind of showing Magnum around England. And I think he was actually playing the Doctor at the time. And I may be wrong, but you can go look that up. I remember that as a kid.
Well, they're slowly releasing those on DVD, so
yeah.
I have to keep my eye out for that.
Eventually you'll get it. And, you know, some Doctor Who fans, somebody's going to be like watching it and go, oh, man, look at that.
Well, you know what? Speaking of Doctor Who on a North American TV, a little bit of trivia for you since you're throwing that one out.
Okay.
Tom Baker actually appeared in an episode of Remington Steele.
Really?
Yes, he did. Season maybe 3 or 4. The name escapes me. May have been Hounded Steel, the episode.
Right.
But he was in an episode of Remington Steel.
That's pretty interesting. I used to love that show.
So if you go to like a site like www.tv.com,
mm-hmm.
I think you can find it there.
Yeah, I love TV.com.
Yeah, great website. If you just want to look up stuff about shows and episodes, specifics and stuff.
Right. I like Wikipedia a little bit too, but you can't always trust their sources. That's the thing about Wikipedia. But it there's a lot of insight about things. They have a lot to say about Doctor Who, but there's a lot to say about it. Both.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, 40 years worth of TV history, so.
Yeah, and you know, it was my dad was pointing out that last Friday was the 40th anniversary of Star Trek's premiere. So there's a lot of big iconic shows that are hitting 40 years and they're still going.
Yeah, there's still a fan base out there, so there you go.
And it's amazing. Like, I know that there's some people that have talked to some of the stars of today that are big fans of Doctor Who. And, you know, they watched it on PBS as a kid, and now that it's back on, and it's like just amazing. It's amazing how these podcasts always turn back to Doctor Who, but there's so much there, you know.
Well, yeah, and then you have now, you know, 10 years or more of Big Finish productions, which really helped keep the show alive.
I'm getting addicted to those now.
Yeah, it's great. I just wish I had half the time to listen to them all.
I came across another means thing that had, like, complete files of whole seasons and, you know, all at one time. Suddenly I had about 40 of them.
Yeah, it is out there. Not that we're promoting that kind of sort of thing, but if you were to look,
yeah, if someone were around here to, you know, sell the individual discs, I would much rather have those.
Well, to me, it comes down to money.
Well, yeah. Well, see, now those are almost as expensive as buying the episode DVDs, and it's kind of like
pretty much, and those are expensive as heck here.
Baker, I don't know, but
yeah. I can just about afford those DVDs, and they're, you know, here, they're like almost $30 for
right.
a single disc, and then like $40 almost for a double disc.
You know, I've had real good luck getting those off of eBay at a reasonable price.
You're lucky. I mean, there's only one store I can order them locally, and even when I order them, I'm waiting like probably a month after I order it before they get it.
Well, see, I'm lucky, you know, a lot of the Borders and Barnes & Nobles type stores carry them. And we have Best Buy here in America, and they carry them, although they carry
There was only one big box store that carried it here, and they stopped doing it. They carried them for a while, but they dropped it.
Have you ever been to whona.com?
No, I don't know that website.
All right, write that down. It's whona.com, and it's a North American Doctor Who store, and they will sell action figures, Big Finish audios, and DVDs. And you can, I think they ship to Canada, so. My friend ordered series one of Doctor Who from them, and I kid you not, he ordered it Monday afternoon, and by Wednesday he had it.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
That's how quick they are. So, very
professional. No, but if they're from the States, we always up here in Canada get dinged for shipping and
right.
then
import
a duty
tax.
And the exchange rate.
Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Oh yeah, just share the love, North America.
We're all one big happy continent.
Oh yeah, sure. That's why we're to country now.
Right. But I just say it's a good time to be a Doctor Who fan. It's a good time to be a
Oh.
fan of sci-fi in general. There's a lot of good shows coming on, and it's gotten to the point where I don't have enough hours in the day or hours in the week to watch the ones I really want to watch. And the new stuff's just as good, you know. And getting to the point where it's like I might as well just not watch TV ever again and just get the DVDs and watch them when I can.
Oh yeah, science fiction has really had a resurgence in the past, maybe 5, 10 years.
Right, and you know, I attribute it to groundbreaking shows like Buffy and Angel, and you know, Stargate didn't hurt. The
No,
Star Trek shows
it
have always
definitely
come
kept
in
it
there,
alive.
and you know, the Sci-Fi Channel when it started was pretty good. I just don't understand what their problem is now, but they're starting to get a
Yeah.
little bit better in their programming. I just think there's a lot of newer sci-fi shows that they can't afford. And they lose them to the smaller networks, and that's some of the problem there. And then the stuff they can get, you know, like Boa versus Python or SS Doom Trooper, is real cheap for them to buy, and that's why they put it on there. They're
Yeah, I
afraid to
think we have
spend
a
some money.
similar problem with the space, the Imagination Station, which is our Canadian equivalent up here.
Right. But you know, I think eventually they'll be pretty good. I noticed that like their sister network USA tends to get a lot of the same shows, and they get some better stuff too. They're the ones that show the 4400, which is a good show. Not as much now. This season of TV looks like it's pretty lame for some of the new shows. Like there's a show called Vanished that just started on the Fox network here that it's okay, but the reason I watch it is because it's filmed in Atlanta. And finally, Atlanta
Ah,
has a
I
show
gotcha.
with Atlanta backgrounds and stuff. You know, most of it's filmed in LA, but the location works here in Atlanta. And it's kind of neat to see streets I've walked on in TV. But, you know, if I wanted to see that too, I could watch Designing Women or Matlock or Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
You know, I come from an area they use a lot of backdrops. I mean, schlocky horror films get filmed around here, like the Sleepaway Camp movies. They film part two and three about 10 miles from my house.
Oh, there's some horror classics for you.
Oh yeah, tell me about it. This week I've been on a Friday the 13th kick. I got that box set, so I've been going through those movies, and you know, they're nostalgic, but God, they're not as good as I remember them. It's amazing how you love something as a kid, and when you get a little bit older, it's like, wow, how could I have ever watched that?
Yeah, not everything ages is like you wanted to, sadly.
Have you watched Knight Rider recently? I was addicted to
Yeah,
that
I've
show as a
actually,
kid, but
I
I don't know. I
yeah,
just
I've been watching those shows, yeah.
I was watching it on Sci-Fi, and I was like, you know, it didn't age very well to me.
It depends. Certain episodes age better with others.
Right. And I'm sure that's pretty much the way it is with most of the old shows now. And like, I picked up Quantum Leap, and I really enjoyed it, but I hate the way that they did the DVDs because they didn't want to pay for the music that was in the show, so they put alternate music. And sometimes the musical cues were very essential to the episode.
Yeah, that's a shame with DVDs because it's musical rights is killing a lot of releases. I
Right.
mean, that was the big hold up for Miami Vice.
Yeah, and I think they did a pretty good job on DVD from what I understand. I haven't watched any of those, but I do know like the DVD I picked up where they did not skimp on anything was the moonlighting sets from the show Moonlighting. They got
Oh, really? That's good.
all the original music, all the they didn't do syndication cuts. They put it out like it was supposed to be shown, and it was really enjoyable. That show aged very well, by the way. I mean, the costuming and the hairdos didn't, but the acting is still there. It blew my mind. The
Yeah,
one
like I have purchased Remington Steele recently, and that show's aged really well.
Yeah, I need to pick those up. That was like my favorite show as a kid, and there's just so many other shows I want ahead of it right now that it's been on the back burner. But there's always Netflix.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting when it comes to the whole music thing coming up with 90210 officially coming out on DVD soon, because that show was chock full of music,
Well, you
and
know,
we'll
you
see
had
how much
musical guests at the
substitutions happen there.
Peach Pit, like the Bare Naked Ladies.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're going to pay them a fortune. One of my favorite bands, by the way, Canadians. Woo!
Yes, yeah, they became a very huge hit down your way.
Right. I've seen them twice, and they made probably one of the best concert shows I've ever seen.
Yeah, I've heard they do a really good live show.
They're really funny and entertaining, and that's what I like when I pay that much for a concert ticket.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to pay to see somebody in person, you don't want to pay to see somebody just limp.
Right. It's like, you know, these people that go see the Rolling Stones, while I'm sure they're really good on stage, they're just so over it. It's not even funny. It's, I don't know. I'm sure they're
Yeah, cool. Another good Canadian band that's actually live, I don't know if you've heard of, is Blue Rodeo.
No, I haven't.
I've seen them perform at least 3 or 4 times live.
They got really good. I saw Bare Naked Ladies when Alanis Morissette was singing with them, and I've never been a big Alanis fan, but she's great in concert. I enjoyed it, and I went out and bought some CDs after that point, and I've really grown to love her music. I don't know why.
Yeah, she's been through a lot of stages in her musical career.
I just remember seeing her on You Can't Do That on TV.
Yes, I was going to mention that. Yes, that's something that she does not like to admit to.
Right. Another show I'd like to throw out that I don't know if you've ever seen it or not, is a show that Fox did called Wonderfalls. Have you ever seen that?
Heard about it, never actually caught it.
Check it out. It's actually, I didn't have any, just really need to see that show. Then somebody showed me like the pilot episode and I was hooked. And it's, you know, mostly filmed in Canada and the actors are mostly Canadian, but it's set in Buffalo, New York, you know, right at the falls basically at Niagara. And
oh, okay.
It's kind of a sci-fi premise, actually. It's about a girl who stuffed animals start talking to her and telling her how to fix her life by helping other people. It's kind of strange, but it's one of those quirky, fun to watch shows.
So it's like a helpful Greg the Bunny.
Yeah, something like that. It's really cool. And, oh, that's a show, God. I wish they'd have let go on because it was hilarious.
Yeah, it's one of those puppets go crazy shows.
Well, I guess we're getting a little bit long in the tooth. I just want to say thank you for being on my show. I enjoyed it, and I hope we can do it again.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, and everyone, this is Russell Hale, and he's got his show, which I'm going to let him kind of shamelessly promote right now. So go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, my website is no WWs, just rambling.russ.libsyn.com. As to quote the quote Jerry Seinfeld, my show really is about nothing because I have a wide range of topics.
Well, you know, it's a very interesting show though, and he likes to do book reviews and such, which I might steal from him and do from time to time as well. But it's very interesting. You get into other media that the other podcasts don't talk about a lot.
Yeah, I also do the occasional DVD review that I find is interesting and not the typical, oh, here's the latest Hollywood blockbuster release.
Right. I like the more avant-garde stuff myself, not just, you know, Poseidon, but I like the other stuff that goes with it.
Oh, yeah, and you know, I try to have guests on with different topics and do movie reviews, so I'm mixed bag.
Right. Well, I appreciate you being on my show, and I thank you very, very much.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Have a good day. Tune in next week when the whole gang gets together and we try to discuss current events in sci-fi and fantasy. So stick around. We want to thank Russell for being here. Have a good day.